All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I mean, week
living
seven.
The dream or what?
Oh, well, it's week 7 million of quarantine. So this is life now.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a problem.
Yeah.
Let's get right into that segment.
What's your problem? Oh, with Penn.
With Penn. Right. Here's my problem. I'm going to tell you my problem.
Yeah.
I got a problem.
Okay.
And I think we've talked about this before. So I don't know. Maybe we haven't. But I have this problem and I want to tell you about it. You know what my problem is?
What?
My problem is I have a problem with how many people start calling stuff the new normal. Right? This is not the new normal. Like, please God, this is not the new. We are not going to be walking around with masks for the rest of our. Listen, I'm all for it. I'm Mr. Safety.
Right.
I wear a mask all the time. I wear gloves when I'm in the grocery store. Like, I'm all for it. I totally get it. It's serious, and I take it seriously. But they're going to make a vaccine. We're going to learn about this. Life is going to go. I'm not saying that everything's going to go back to normal, and maybe it should not go back to normal. But what I'm saying is that this that we're in right now,
right,
this is not the new normal, David.
Get ready for the new normal because it's not this. it's coming straight at you.
Coming soon to a Regal near you.
Exactly.
I wonder if anybody from Regal listens to the podcast.
Maybe. I looking at our stats, I'm always surprised at how many people like around the world and around the States listen to the show. So
I would love somebody from Regal to send us a note, podcast@penncinema.com. And I'm totally comfortable with this because I think I've been my public position on Regal has never changed. And my public position on Regal is I have a lot of respect for them. They're running a totally different operation than Penn Cinema. It's a totally different game. You've never heard me badmouth Regal. I mean, sometimes I make fun of them or whatever, but I mean,
yeah.
It's funny you too. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true. I've been meaning to talk to you about that, my feelings.
About my feelings.
Yeah. No, that'd be really interesting to find out. Let's put it this way. If you work for Regal or any other large chain and you listen to the show, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, unless it's AMC and then we're not interested.
No. No. No.
All right. Well, the reason why we mentioned Regal coming soon to a Regal near you is because the mainstream media, the press has sort of unofficially declared that July 10th is National Theater Reopening Day because Regal and AMC and Cinemark or Cineplex or one of those big boys announced that they're all opening their doors on July 10th. What do you think of that?
What's with that date? Why July 10th? I mean, like, Tenet's been pushed back.
Right.
You know? Like, what's the point? Now, I know that we'll get into it, but they're releasing, Inception as a Tenet teaser type thing?
Yeah, but they're doing that July 3rd. I mean, or at least that's what they told me. Maybe I better double check. Maybe they're re-releasing it. So they're doing they're doing the Dark Knight trilogy in IMAX on July 3rd.
Okay.
And then on July 10th, they told me they were doing Inception. And
that's what I meant. Yeah, Inception.
Yeah, Inception and Dunkirk and sort of all those classic Nolan films. I don't know. It feels a little bit random to me, but it also feels a little bit like fake it till you make it. Like,
right.
Like put on a big smile and tell everyone, like, hey,
hey,
it's going to be a great summer. What's up? This is going to be awesome. But speaking of awesome, the movie that apparently is going to kick off our incredible national return to the movie theaters is Russell Crowe's massive movie called Unhinged. Do you remember we watched this?
Yeah. Is this the one where he's like in the woods or something? Yeah. I can't remember.
You know what's funny?
He put on a lot of weight for this one, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was a VOD movie, honestly. It doesn't look like a theater movie to me.
It's coming from one of our favorite studios, Solstice Studios.
Oh, of course.
So I had a funny email exchange with a guy from Solstice Studios. He sent me an email wanting to talk about booking Unhinged. And I was like, whatever. I totally ignored him. So here's what I wrote to him. So I had this conversation with my man, Chris from Sony, who I've been booking movies with Chris for literally 15, it'll be almost 15 years. Wow. He's the same guy from Sony all along, one of my best friends in the business. And so here's the email that I sent to Jeff from Solstice after talking to Chris. Hi, Jeff. Well, I was going to blow you off, but Chris McLaren told me not to screw around and just book the damn picture. So I guess we'll book it. And then he wrote back, fair enough. Thanks. So I don't know. So, I mean, Unhinged starring Russell Crowe. I got some early word on this movie from the studios, and they're saying that it's actually pretty good. The word that I heard from a couple different studio reps was Unhinged is exactly what we need right now.
Really?
Like, not perfect or wonderful or like the best movie ever, but like a good movie, like kind of an escape movie, you know, this kind of thing.
Okay. Did they mention anything about Unhinged needing to work on its trailers to convey that message?
The lack thereof.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one trailer and it's like, what?
yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, that's it. July 10th, theaters are opening with the blockbuster Unhinged. Your local theaters, if you are fortunate enough to be a Penn Cinema customer, if you live in Wilmington, you know that we're already open. So that's great.
That's awesome.
And then Lititz and Huntington Valley will both open sometime, I'm sure, prior to July 10th. So
very cool.
And I guess this, as long as we're talking about Penn Cinema, this might as well be the time to plug. As of today, right now, we just today shook hands figuratively.
Okay.
Didn't actually shake hands.
You didn't have to put clothes on, and
we just sort of like did the little bow and the nod with our landlord in Huntington Valley, and I'm pleased to announce exclusive here on the Penn Cinema podcast.
What?
For the first time in public, Huntington Valley is getting the Penn Cinema drive-in, which we are hoping to open in time for the 4th of July. None of my team know this yet, so we'll find out who listens to the podcast. We get these emails from my staff going like, hey, Penn, something you want to tell us? Anything you want to share?
So you've been doing a big screen like in Lititz, or are you going to I thought maybe you might just use that screen on the out front.
Well, it's funny because our landlord is the man. I mean, he is a great guy. And one of the things that makes him great is that he's a genuine movie fan, right? So mm-hmm. he comes to a lot of movies. He loves movies. He always has. And when he first came to me with wanting to open encouraging me to open a drive-in, he was talking about that front little screen over our front doors. And I was like, dude, I got to get you off this. this is not going to work. So we looked at both, but we're going to go around behind the building for those of you that know the building and have a big old screen, almost the same size as Lit. It's not quite as this, not exactly the same dimensions, but a good big screen. And yeah, we're going to rock and roll and I'm going to go crazy in the next 2 weeks trying to get it open before July 1. That's my goal.
Wow. Wow.
I ain't scared.
No, you ain't scared.
Come on.
Nah. You got this. You got a budding musical career. I mean, we haven't talked about it, but everyone knows.
Right. Everyone knows.
Yeah. If they've heard you talk, they know you can sing. So.
Right.
So what's this Universal? I'm hearing Universal Pools Cozy.
Okay.
What's this about?
All right, I got some news for you, David. Did you hear this, or is this the first you're hearing about
this? This is the first I'm hearing. Well, hold on. Okay, now I'm hearing about it.
Now you're hearing it. Yeah. All right, listen. I did something incredibly hypocritical.
Oh, no.
I did. It's true. So do you remember a couple weeks ago when I made fun of AMC for boycotting Universal?
Yeah.
Because of the whole trolls thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so just have that as like the backdrop.
Oh boy.
Here's what happened. The day that King of Staten Island was scheduled to open in our Wilmington theater, we had tons of tickets sold. We collected people's money. We had the film in the building. We had the keys. It was unlocked. I got an urgent phone call from my guy at Universal saying, "Penn, there's been a massive misunderstanding. And King of Staten Island is, in fact, not getting a theatrical release anywhere in America."
What?
Of course, what? I completely lost my mind.
Wow.
Right away, wow. Yeah. I mean, it's hours. It's 8 hours before the first show. Same day. And it's just unbelievable. So... you know what? I'm sorry. I'm exaggerating. It is still insane, but it was actually it was Wednesday, so it was 8 plus 24. So it was 32 hours. Still, we had tons of tickets sold. We had the film in the building. We had keys. We had it loaded. We had it unlocked. We were ready to go. Guy calls me. He's really sorry, blah, blah, blah. So I did the same thing AMC did. Not that anybody cares, but I immediately canceled all our Universal titles and sent a formal email to both of my reps, because Universal is one of those studios where we have one rep for Delaware and one rep for Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I sent an email to both of them saying, I'm no longer playing Universal content until you can demonstrate your commitment to the theatrical experience. And their next title is some horror movie in September. I forget what it's called. But I told them, I said, I don't believe for a second that this movie will survive and actually get a theatrical release.
Wow.
And the one guy said to me, well, my job depends on it, so I wouldn't steer you wrong. And I said, well, if your job depends on it, I'd get your resume ready.
Oh, snap.
Shots fired.
Oh,
what's
gosh.
Up?
Oh,
so there's a couple different reasons why this was so hypocritical.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what they are.
wait, is Bond a Universal movie?
No. Okay.
All right.
So first of all, the first reason why it's incredibly hypocritical is because I made fun of AMC for doing the exact same thing.
Right, yeah.
Because as soon as a good Universal movie comes along that's going to make real money that people want to see, you know I'm going to suddenly change my position. You just know it. But it is what it is. And I want to stress how angry I was. Like I experienced real emotion. I was sweating. I was just absolutely furious. And I was laying into whoever was near me to tell them how I felt about this. So it was a really, really ugly day. So the first thing that makes it so stupid of me to do that is because I made fun of AMC for doing the exact same thing. Okay, but we can get over that. But the second reason why it was really a little bit hypocritical, but I stand by my decision. The second reason why it was a little bit hypocritical is because I had 3 or 4 days of Universal movies lined up at the drive-in in Lititz.
Oh, no.
And I did not cancel those bookings. But and you could look at me and say, you are a shallow, greedy hypocrite, you know, money rules, blah, blah, blah. And that's fair. I'm not going to correct you. But I want to explore the other side of that coin, too. The real honest-to-God reason I did not cancel it is because when we canceled Ghostbusters, when Sony did the same thing with Ghostbusters, we had so many disappointed people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt like if I canceled all those shows of like one of the titles was Jaws, another one was Jurassic World. If I canceled those shows, I really felt like I was taking my own personal little vendetta and making the customers suffer.
Right.
So I'm not trying to claim that I'm any kind of pure person, but I'll just say there's there's two sides to that coin. The one side, fair enough. You want to throw shade, that's fine. But there is a second side which reflects my commitment to our customers and our guests. I'm not going to try to take it out on them just because I'm fighting with Universal.
I mean, I don't want to make a direct comparison, but there's like Mother Teresa. And then there's like Penn who didn't cancel the drive-in shows. Like,
right. I mean, people throw the word hero around a lot. I mean,
comparisons have been drawn, but you know.
So this also leads into some news that I need to share with you, David.
Oh no! Oh no!
My friend.
Oh my goodness!
You know what I'm going to say.
I hope not.
Okay. Have we ever talked about? Wait, are you saying you didn't watch it either?
No, I did.
Okay.
You didn't watch the movie?
Do you remember?
Man, I spent $20 to watch this dumb movie. I can't. Oh, we're going to get into it.
We've talked on this show before how if I'm like excited for a certain movie and then it flops on opening weekend, or if I fight with the studio about it, a lot of times that background ruins a movie for me. And this is one of the ultimate like background ruiners. There was no possible way that I could sit still and watch King of Staten Island without screaming and putting my foot through the television.
Oh my word.
So we'll talk about it when we get down to our movie review. But no, David, there is no Santa Claus, and I did not watch King of Staten Island.
Wait, what's this about
bam,
Santa?
Bam. That's a double whammy. That's some boom boom shrimp right there.
We gotta move on before I start getting upset.
Okay, all right. So tell me about some other studio news, like release dates and stuff.
Okay, so release dates. There's been a bunch of pushbacks, nothing crazy. Tenet got pushed back 2 weeks.
Okay, but I think that's crazy. Go on.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I want to hark back to what you were talking about. How they're showing other Christopher Nolan movies in the theater to hype people for Tenet.
Right.
To like get people used to being back in the theater.
Right.
The only thing that I'm reading about, I had no clue it was all his stuff. The only thing that I'm seeing articles about is how Inception is back in theaters, because there's all these fan theories that Tenet is a secret sequel to Inception.
Oh.
And here they're just not telling you that all the other movies are coming back.
I would love that.
Would you though? Someone told me that and I was like, shut up, I hate you. Don't why can't it just be, why does it always have to be connected?
I want to talk about King of Staten Island for a second, and I'm being serious. I'm sorry, but it's relevant here for Tenet and all these release date changes. I was talking to my friend Chris from Sony, and he's always one. Like, I always call him fired up with some like I call him and I'm outraged. I can't believe it. Done it again. That same thing. So I called him. I said, hey, Chris, did you hear about the? I told him all about it. Of course, he already knew all about it. And he did point something interesting out. He pointed out that a lot of filmmakers are, because you know, Hollywood, this is like the great understatement of the week. Hollywood is very sensitive to political correctness.
Right.
Right. A lot of filmmakers, not studios, but filmmakers, are sensitive to being accused of putting people at risk for infection in the interest of promoting their movie. So a theory that's going around the studio world, the distribution community, is that Judd Apatow and Lorne Michael and whoever, you know, Pete Davidson, whoever was involved in the Staten Island movie, pulled it from the theater because they did not want to be seen as contributing to any scenario where they're bringing people back together before it is safe for people to come back together.
Mm.
Which, that kind of adds up.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit.
I have another theory. And it's that this movie, King of Staten Island, although not horrible, is not as good as they've led you to believe, and thus was probably going to make more money at home than it would have in the theater.
Okay, so Tenet Wonder Woman 1984 got pushed October 2nd.
Yeah.
And here's one I want to talk about. Tom Hanks's movie called Bios.
Wonder Woman was pushed back because it's the same studio as Tenet, and
right.
its release date conflicted.
Right.
So it's to give breathing room.
Yeah, that's fine. Were we aware of this Tom Hanks movie called Bios?
No.
Me neither.
Are you sure that's coming to theaters?
Oh, shit.
Didn't we read a thing about how Tom Hanks was making straight-to-video stuff now?
Stupid Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it was like a big thing about how he signed to do video-on-demand stuff.
That breaks my heart.
Your achy-breaky heart?
That breaks my achy-breaky heart. Don't tell my heart. My achy-breaky heart.
Oh, hello, Nashville? Yeah, no, I'm on the line with him right now. I'll have him call you as soon as the podcast.
I just don't think you'd understand. All right.
Okay, the Matrix movie will now be released on April 2nd. It's actually been moved up from May 21st. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's been pushed back to April 2nd, 2022. Just push back a year from May 21st, 2021.
All right. I want to introduce a new rule to the Penn Cinema podcast. Okay?
Okay.
If the release date is greater than 18 months away, I'm not interested. to me, that feels hypothetical. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, that feels like April of 2022. What are we going to be doing? We're going to be on week 432.
Million.
Million. We're going to be trying to remember the name of that movie with Pete Davidson. Remember?
Yeah.
And he had all the tattoos on the poster.
He got the tattoos for the movie, I remember.
Yeah, and remember I watched it, but you didn't watch
it.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was so mad at you. Because I like had to pay $20 to watch it. And you refused.
I was like, no way.
Because you hate people with tattoos.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Look, man, you're not requiring me to do math before I put news on our notes. I don't know how I feel about that.
All right, but listen, the movie that everybody is talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Got bumped up a week early.
Oh, what movie is that?
I'm going to give this one to you because you earned it.
Bill and Ted, Face the Music. Now released 1 week earlier on August 14th, 2020. And that's awesome.
And on what?
And likewise, James Bond. You know, here's the thing. Who puts out Bond? Is it Sony?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Your boy Chris. He called me up.
Oh, man. What's up?
And I was like, is this the Chris that Penn talks to? He's like, the same. He said, I hear your birthday is in November. It's on the 19th. And I was like, yeah, no, that's true. He's like, I know you need something to bring your boys to on your birthday party. So we're going to move up No Time to Die to November 20th, right then and there. So you can go celebrate, you know, your birthday weekend. You can go see No Time to Die. You don't have to wait around. No big deal.
November 19th.
Is my birthday. November 20th. It's a third.
No, I didn't want to ruin the surprise.
Oh, my gosh. Midnight show?
I'm saying, the Penn Cinema podcast, David Maltin birthday party, midnight show of No Time to Die. What's up? Surprise!
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. I mean, people out there, get hyped. How many people are hyped for my birthday? Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Now, let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
A regular guy.
Yeah.
Like your run-of-the-mill friend.
Right.
Would go buy you a birthday cake for your birthday.
My man. Yeah.
Right. But me, I'm taking it up a notch. I'm telling you that me and Kayla and Marley are going to make you a birthday cake.
Get out of town. Boosh.
Mind blown.
Mind blown.
Check.
I like how Amy's like, I don't want any part of this.
No, Amy's... Wait, sidebar. Well, all right, we'll put that in the notes later. But has anybody been watching Nailed It? Because that show is freaking hilarious.
I haven't. I'll have to check that out.
Oh, my God. All right, so we'll talk about that. But real quick, I don't want to waste any more time on Bill and Ted's sucky movie. But
don't worry, we will later.
You know how I always say party on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we say that. We say that now together.
Yeah.
I say it personally all the time to people. That's from Wayne's World.
Right.
I picked that up from Wayne's World.
Which is similar to Bill and Ted's.
No. No. No, not at all. That's David. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell. Oh my God. You're such an ass. That's like saying, I don't know, some shitty robot movie. That's like saying, oh, it's pretty much the same as Transformers.
I knew that would set you off. I was like, you were setting it up. I was like, here it comes.
Listen, you've said all kinds of stupid things. This is the stupidest thing you've ever said in your life. I'm going to go all the way back to elementary school. You've never said anything clever than that. Oh, yeah.
I'm so upset.
All right, so let the record show. Oh, Bill and Ted is nothing. Bill and Ted is a whisper of Wayne's World. Bill and Ted is a cheap knockoff. I bet you it came out before Wayne's World, but still, it still sucks. All right. My problem is Wayne's World has the expression party on, and now in this dumb trailer for Bill and Ted Face the Music, which comes out on August 14th at a local Penn cinema near you, Bill and Ted Face the Music, they're on stage and they're giving their greetings, and Keanu Reeves says, party on.
And it ruined it for you.
It ruined it. Absolutely.
Did it ruin the movie or the saying?
Oh, no. Oh, baby. No, just the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. No, party on, man. It's all good. Speaking of all-time epic quotable movies.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Caddyshack?
Oh, yeah. Most def.
Yeah. A million times, right?
Yeah.
Now, I want to say something, and I don't mean any disrespect. All right.
But Caddyshack inspired Wayne's World.
Right. No. I'm going to read the headline, and then I do have something to say.
Okay.
Caddyshack puppeteer Pat Brimer passed away at 70 years old. He was also the puppeteer behind, I think in the 60s or some 70s or something, there was a famous puppet called Lamb Chop.
Man, don't hark. I mean, that Lamb Chop was still cool in the 80s.
What was Lamb Chop from?
It was a Lamb Chop. It was like a little lamb puppet, and it sang. This is
from what show?
The Lamb Chop show.
You don't know.
I don't know. I used to watch it.
It was from like Howdy Doody or The Wiz or something.
I'm looking it up. Lamb Chop had its own show, and they sang. This is the song that never ends. You know,
that's the tagline for Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Okay. There was a ventriloquist. She appeared on Captain Kangaroo in the 50s.
Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah. Well, then Lamb Chop had its own show. I'm sure of it. Anyway, right. It doesn't matter. Go on.
All right. Here's my thing. And I'm leaving Pat Brimer out of this because he's obviously a very talented puppeteer, right?
Yeah.
It's all good. But we all saw Caddyshack, right?
Uh-huh.
And Pat Brimer played the gopher. Like, he did the puppet for the gopher. David, I feel like I could have played the gopher.
You're telling me that this guy... Like, you haven't known who he was all your life because of that one role?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And now the headline, this poor bastard passes away. And his family is grieving. His children are mourning. My heart goes out to his family. I'm sure he was an incredibly wonderful person and obviously clearly a talented puppeteer. But the headline for his death reads, Caddyshack puppeteer Pat Brimer dies at 70. That's a tough way to go.
Also, I would have thought that Lamb Chop would have been more famous than, you know?
Yeah. No, I would too. I would totally would too. All right. Speaking of made up characters, Ewan McGregor is going to voice Jiminy Cricket for Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
So that's still happening, huh? I kind of thought maybe it wasn't happening.
You wish it wasn't happening.
To be honest. So, I mean, that's cool. I like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's cool. We love Guillermo del Toro.
Right.
right? And we'd love the idea of a Pinocchio movie.
Now, do you think it's going to be real dark and, like, scary and stuff?
Like Pan?
Yeah, like Pan. Yeah, it's gonna be just like
totally.
Pan.
It's going to be brutal.
So it's not a Disney thing is what we're saying.
No,
right?
I'm just kidding. I think it's going to be totally I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll get back to that. We'll report that. We'll report more on that at another show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So there's an Arthur Ashe biopic in the works.
Do you know who Arthur Ashe is?
No.
He's a famous tennis player. He came out and, I believe he passed away from AIDS. I know he had AIDS. And he did a lot for like raising awareness. He was incredibly active, incredibly just an inspiring person who, you know, really like he was a famous tennis star, but one of those people who brought so much more, you know, than just being a talented tennis player. So I'm excited that a biopic is in the works. And also Lenny Kilmeister from Motorhead is also getting a biopic. So whatever, we don't need to talk about either one of those at length because we don't know much about either one. But I just thought, especially with what's going on in the world right now, I think the Arthur Ashe movie is going to be really timely and interesting. I can't wait to see it.
Well, there's also a Lenny Kilmeister from Motorhead biopic in the works.
Right. And there's going to be a biopic about Lenny Kilmeister from Motorhead also.
Yeah. I mean, because I butchered the name, but do you think this is the beginning of the biopic shared universe?
I hope so.
There's going to start to be crossovers.
Oh my God.
It could happen. Cause that universe is our universe.
I would love that. All right, so here's an interesting, speaking of social issues.
Yeah.
Gone with the Wind. So we heard from Top 10 Sarah this week that she took Gone with the Wind off of her Top 10 list because she was recently made aware, or I don't, made aware is the wrong word, but let me see how she put that. She said, so now I'm a racist. I will replace my number 10 movie, Gone with the Wind, with my honorable mention, Zombieland. No one can find anything wrong with the Double Tap, right? Thanks, HBO Max, for calling out my childhood favorite movie and making me realize that romance is dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so then there was also...
I think HBO and Netflix removed it.
And right. And then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a famous basketball player... he came out today and he said they shouldn't ban Gone with the Wind. There should be a warning label on it. So it's sort of creating this discussion on movies that my friend's teenage daughter would call problematic. Is should the movie be banned or should there be a way? I think the world is looking for a way to articulate movies that are relevant but also reflect a time gone by in a bad way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we don't have the vocabulary that we need right now to talk about movies that offend us, but maybe I don't want to say it's unintentional or whatever, but just, I don't know. You can see with your own two ears, I lack the vocabulary. I don't know how to describe what we're all talking about with this Gone with the Wind, other than the fact that I think there are quite a few movies, you know, which, you know, fall into this category. It's not Gone with the Wind. It's not the only offensive movie that is at times blatantly racist.
Or like the Disney Crows.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of, like this, and it's, I think the warning labels probably there should be some sort of learning, educational thing with it. I think if we're going to preserve these things going forth as a society, there needs to be some sort of something with it because I mean, I don't know how many people are being influenced by Gone with the Wind, but that doesn't mean and Gone with the Wind is not all movies, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a lot of movies out there, and there's a lot of movies that depict these things in a negative way, either as a product of the time or, unfortunately, probably in some cases on purpose. So it's very, you know, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. You're right. No words.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's something that put that on our list of things to do is improve our vocabulary to be able to discuss this.
Yeah.
Podcast at Penn Cinema, if you already know the word.
Yeah.
Or the words. Meanwhile, Children of the Corn remake was filmed during quarantine.
Yeah. So they made a remake of Children of the Corn, and they quietly did it during the quarantine because they didn't want any news press about it and they didn't want to get stopped. And so it was a little production. I don't know a whole ton about it, but I know that they filmed. Production has just wrapped on this movie. Someone had to do it, right?
I guess.
So why not someone working with children, you know, the people who are not old enough to make the decision on their own for their own safety, you know, cool. That's great.
All right.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. Ripley Scott out of the next Alien.
No. Wait, is their last name Scott?
I don't know.
Not the director Ripley Scott. Ripley, the character.
Oh, the character. Oh, yeah. I thought we were being funny about the director.
No, Sigourney Weaver said she took a look at the preliminary playout for the next Alien movie. No Ripley.
Oh.
She says Ripley must be done with the franchise.
Okay.
So, okay, according to a new report from the heroic Hollywood, Man of Steel 2 is not a priority with Warner Brothers, even in light of the Bad Robot's $500 million deal with Warner Media. So basically, they came out and they said, we have no plans to do any Man of Steel movies. We have no plans to do Man of Steel 2. Superman needs to be a side character that pops in and out of other films like The Hulk. And they don't think that he can hold a movie on his own right now. I'm sorry. Superman?
Superman can't hold a movie on his own.
Right. I don't know what to think about that.
I don't know. There's no words. That's the second story of the night. There's no words. And I'll tell you, I hate to say it because I'm not trying to throw him under the bus and I don't really feel personally strong about it. But if you don't think that your Superman can carry the water, can carry a film, it's time to get a new Superman.
Right?
Like, just either start over, get a new actor, a whole new script, like whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard since that time you compared Wayne's World to Bill and Ted Face the Music.
I don't remember that.
It didn't happen. I'm just kidding. Could have never happened.
Here's another crazy thing.
All right.
Bruce Campbell will not be in Evil Dead now, nor will the movie connect with the rest of the franchise. So if you're an Evil Dead fan, you hear about Evil Dead now, the remake.
Yeah, woohoo!
Yeah. I love Evil Dead. I can't wait to see...
Yeah, Bruce Campbell.
The dead and being evil now. And wrong. It's a whole new thing.
The dead and being evil.
Now.
Right.
Yeah. So Bruce Campbell's out. I don't know if he's still doing the television show or not, but...
I got a question.
Yeah.
For our listeners, podcast at PennCinema.com. Do we have any Evil Dead Now fans? Does anybody care?
I like Army of Darkness.
Okay.
Which is the third one, but that's the only one I've seen or desired to see.
Okay.
Because it's a comedy compared to the other ones.
Did you know that Matt Reeves is planning to introduce a brand new incarnation of the Joker in next year's The Batman?
This is BS.
Is it?
No, it's BS as in, like, I don't like it.
Oh, okay.
Why do we need another Joker? We had, you know, Heath Ledger, great. We had Joaquin Phoenix, obviously great, right? We had Jared Leto. Everyone hates him, right?
Leto. Oh.
Oh. Nashville? Hold on. Just a little bit longer. I will be done.
So you're not, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I will say is that clearly the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, which was obviously, we all know how I felt about it, was amazing. that was never intended to sort of drift into the DC world, right?
It's its own thing.
Right. So if you want to have a new Joker in next year's The Batman, like, I'm not as bothered by this as you are.
Well, I'm not bothered that it's a new Joker. I didn't want Joaquin Phoenix to cross over at all. I think his thing is good on its own. I'm more upset that, like, Batman is more than just the Joker. Like, and we just did the Joker 3 times.
We?
Yeah. I don't know if you know, I was a part of each one of those teams. So I carry the failure and the highs along with me. But I mean, like, Batman has other great villains. Like, the Riddler's my favorite. Do the Riddler. Do Clayface. It's my second favorite. You know?
The Penguin.
The Penguin. Who's supposed to be in this anyway.
Yeah.
Played by Colin Farrell, I think.
Okay.
So anyway.
Hey, do you think think the Batman will get a lot of Oscars?
Well, only if it comes out in time. Speaking of which, the Oscars have the Oscars normally scheduled for February. This in 2021 they were scheduled for February 28th. The 93rd Academy Awards are now going to take place April 25th, 2021. Plus films released between January 1st, 2020 and February 28th, 2021 will be eligible, adding an additional 2 months of theater time for a movie to get put in. Films released straight to streaming services without a theatrical release are also eligible for Oscars this year.
Good news for trolls!
Good news for trolls! But this rule will go away after this year. So the streaming, straight to streaming will go away after this year. They say that, but how much you want to bet, come around February 2022, the new category, best straight to streaming presentation or something.
All right. It's time for this week's installment of Penn's big, bold statement that he will not follow through on.
That he's sure to backpedal.
Right. Here's my big, bold statement. I will not watch or report on or care or give a flying fart about the Oscars this year.
Whoa. Because of the streaming?
The streaming, the fact that we're losing 6 months of the year – we're not having movies. Like, you know who I feel really bad for? I feel really bad for all the people that are going to win Oscars on April 25th of 2021, because there's going to be a giant asterisk right next to their name that says, this year was the most screwed up year in the history of years. And this guy got an Oscar. This lady got an Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they didn't have enough competition. Guess who won the Oscar? That's what it's saying.
Right, trolls.
Trolls. Yeah. Best animated feature. Get out of here. All right, let's move on to new trailers. Let's start off with your trailer of the week.
Bill and David, Ted face you spoiled it. Come on. Usually people are like gripped to the show. What's Penn's trailer of the week going to be?
I know, right?
Right.
So will we ever find out?
Right. Bill and Ted Face the Music had a new trailer this week. Fine, like whatever. I'm not, I feel like I've sort of built myself up to be an anti-Bill and Ted. I'm not anti-Bill and Ted. This movie looked perfectly dumb, which is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Some 10-year-old boy is going to love it, and it's going to make $20 million. Good for it. I think if you're...
Some 37-year-old boy is going to be excited about it.
If you're listening to the podcast, I think there's a pretty good chance that this movie is not for you.
What are you saying about our audience?
Well, old man Gibble, don't waste your time. You don't want to see this trailer.
Yeah. We got some youngins out there.
Okay. I don't mean okay. I mean, I don't think we have that one 14-year-old kid. we got Connor, not Connor.
Connor, not Connor, right.
We got Connor and not Connor.
Right.
Right. And, all right, I don't know. Connor, what are you going to watch? Didn't Connor put freaking Pulp Fiction on his – Connor is not going to watch this movie. Okay. If he does, he's watching it with a little 14-year-old girl, and he's only watching it because that's the movie she wanted to watch.
Mm.
No?
Okay. All right.
Am I wrong?
All right. What are you going to – I mean, I plan to see this movie.
I have watched a lot of movies just because my friend or a girl I liked or whatever, you know, you go and you watch the movie and that's it.
I've been there. Yeah.
Like, for example, if your girlfriend put like, like Lord of the Rings as like her number one movie of all time, like you would definitely go watch that movie.
I would probably have, like, she'd mention it.
Right.
I'd probably watch it before she had a chance to ask.
Definitely.
So that she, I'd be like, oh yeah, the hobbits are going to Isengard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, but that's not the only trailer this week. There was a good trailer.
There is a good trailer. So let's save that for last. Then we saw a trailer for Skyman.
I don't think you realized how funny that was going to come out. You're like, there was a good trailer. And then there was also Skyman.
Look, this is made by the people who made a Blair Witch Project, and it looks like a documentary, although it's probably not. It's about a guy who saw aliens as a kid and now believes he's ready to be retaken by the alien. I don't know. It was kind of confusing as to what they were really going for. It's a movie about maybe alien sightings. It could be hilarious. Or it could be dumb.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like this.
All right.
This is the movie you want to like sit back with your friends, have a few brewskis and just rip on.
Yeah.
For an hour and a half. Okay. Then we had an actual cool movie called Archive.
Yes.
Now, undetermined whether or not this is to theater or not at this point, according to what I found out. Like they said they can't tell. And its production values look about mid-grade. Some of it looks so amazing, it's got to go in the theater. Some of it's like, I could see how it's not meant for the theater.
Right.
But the story seems really cool. There's a guy, his wife dies. He tries to make a robot that like will have his wife's memories somehow, like that are archived in a computer. And it's a mix between like companies wanting his plans and also the robot becoming sentient. Like he's got different models of the robot. And the robot's like, so you made another one? And he's like, well, I made a new model. And they're like, yeah, so you're replacing me. Like, it kind of it's an interesting, check this trailer out. If you like sci-fi, I thought this was a really cool trailer.
I'm definitely going to watch this movie. This, even if it's on demand, I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
It reminds me of both Transcendence and Ex Machina.
Yeah. And the visual effects look really cool with the robot, for sure. So let's move on to our movie review that Penn was super excited about and convinced me that needed to be watched. It's called King of Staten Island. It's a Judd Apatow movie starring
Pete Davidson.
Oh, Penn's still here. I couldn't tell.
I was trying to make you think your screen was frozen.
He was, yeah. Let me tell you about this movie, Penn.
Please tell me, Dave.
I spent $20 to rent this because I thought some people were committed to the podcast. And when I went to rent it, I was like, because I was the one who was like, oh, we got to.
Right. I remember that part.
Yeah. I went to rent it and I was like, crap. I forgot this was like premium on demand and it wasn't just like available to watch.
Right. It was PVOD.
Yeah. So this movie's fine. It's not very good, in my opinion. It's not horrible. Here's the thing. I was reading a lot about it, and they were saying King of Staten Island was set to be the comedy of the summer. I did not laugh once during this entire film, because if it's a comedy, I was unaware of it. If it's a drama, that's what it fits. Maybe a little bit of a lighthearted drama, you know, but... Pete Davidson, his acting for his character is great. The other actors, their acting for their characters, also great. But Pete Davidson and all the other actors are not in the same movie. That's what it feels like.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Pete Davidson, when he delivers his lines, they are strong. They are heartfelt. They are like, they feel very genuine because he's supposedly playing kind of like himself. You can feel they're, you know, it's genuine that he means what he's saying, what's coming across. And then it flips to the other characters who are also playing drama roles, but they're playing it very like soft spoken.
Right.
And what Pete Davidson's like, I'm in Uncut Gems, and everyone else is like, I'm in Emma. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah. Right, right.
So it all of them are great. They're just not in the same movie. And this is, you know, Judd Apatow does these movies as like launchings for these comedic guys, you know, like,
yeah.
And I just feel like this might not be the best launch. However, I do fully agree that Pete Davidson can act, and I think that he could do some good stuff. I think that the tattoos are going to be detrimental into what he can play. It's hard to take him serious. And he was playing himself, and he was playing like a dopey stoner guy. So he really played into it. But I have trouble imagining him in other serious roles. But he could do comedy or whatever.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is this isn't a horrible movie. You could sit through it if you wanted, but there's really no reason for you to. So that's my review of King of Staten Island. So you want to go spend $20 on this, Ben?
Yeah, no.
Okay. All right, let's move on to listener notes, questions, and answers.
All right. We got a note here from Top 10 Sarah. She's sticking up for boyfriend Chris, saying that he reluctantly agreed. I think the phrase was less than enthusiastic, sure.
Yeah.
And he claimed, have you ever done this? Like when somebody's talking about a movie and you want to sort of keep in the conversation, but you haven't seen it. But you don't want to admit that straight up. So then you say like, I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've definitely done that. Definitely have done that. They're working towards watching that. She got started watching Dark on Netflix, which is cool. But what I thought was interesting about her email that I wanted to respond to was she had asked if we had watched the movie Clue, and she put it on her top 10 list for a nostalgia factor that her and her sister had seen it a million times. They can both recite most of the lines. And she thinks it's a highly overlooked comedy and it's a really funny movie. So I have to tell you, remember earlier I told you how angry I was at Universal when they pulled Staten Island right before it opened?
Yeah.
I had a couple different challenging days, you know, this week.
Yeah.
I pulled up Clue, which I had seen like at least a few times. I haven't seen it recently, but I had seen it more than once or twice. And I pulled up Clue. And I'm not saying that I laughed out loud, but I definitely like smiled and chuckled. It's like a little bit old school. All the comedy is very subtle. So I guess where I land on this is that I would totally agree with Sarah that it's a funny movie. I don't know if it's overlooked. And I guess to me, it kind of lands with like, there was an old Steve Martin movie called Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Okay. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is a lot like Clue in that it's mildly amusing. It's definitely a comedy, but it doesn't hold up. But I've seen it a billion times because for some reason the VHS ended up in my grandparents' house when I was a kid. And instead I could either sit in the living room and have my grandparents quiz me on stupid stuff, or I could hide out in the other room watching Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid six times in a row. So it has that same nostalgic feel. And I think it's interesting. She raises sort of an interesting point about like, there's movies we put on our top 10 list because we genuinely love them and think they're the best movies. And then there are other movies we put on our top 10 list because we love them just because we love them.
Right, right.
And that's where Clue is for her. And that's cool. I'm not going to argue with her. I think it's a good movie. It's funny. And yeah. I recommend it. If anybody's looking for a light, subtle sort of old school comedy, go for it.
Now, have you seen all the endings?
What?
So Clue has, what, 8 endings? And when they sent it to theaters, they sent it out with a random ending. So depending on which one you watch, it changes who the killer is.
I did not know that, and I think I only saw it because the ending I watched the other night was the exact same one.
Yeah.
That I always see.
I think the DVD has, I'm sure it's on YouTube too, has like all the endings.
Nice. To it. Yeah. I'm going to look for that.
Yeah. I have seen this movie at some point. I could not tell you anything about it exactly other than that little tidbit of information I have. So whether or not I can actually say that I've seen it, I don't know if that really...
Have you seen bits and pieces of it?
I've definitely seen bits and pieces of it. Here's, you know what you left out here? She said no wedding bells yet in her subject line. But then under that, she said, look, when it happens, I want you guys to definitely be there to MC my Lord of the Rings themed wedding.
So, in costume.
In costume.
Obviously.
I mean, are we gonna go as the trolls?
I mean, I think we sort of have to, right?
We got to, right? Yeah. Turned into stone. Yeah. All right. So Goonies Jason also wrote us in.
Love the guy.
Yeah. This man dedicated to film, and I love it. He says, I've got about 1,600 DVDs and Blu-rays. I keep my Blu-rays separate from the DVDs, which is about 270, and they're organized by case and color. His DVDs are organized by genre, comedy, sci-fi, horror, action, adventure, drama, thriller, Disney, and animated.
I think it, I don't want to interrupt your thought, but isn't this a response to who's, Joel Code sent us the top 10 list organized by genre.
Yeah.
And we had some comments, I think, about his genres.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think Goonies Jason is trying to lay down the law and say, like, listen, here's the genres.
I love how he kept Disney out.
I that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, that's a fascinating move. So, like, because you go on the Disney Channel and you see the wide range.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, when you say Disney, do you mean Marvel?
Oh, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Or do you mean Pixar? Or do you mean, like, both. Princesses?
I would think it'd be both. I think it'd be all Disney.
Do you mean Cinderella?
Cinderella. Here's the bigger question. If the Marvel movies are included with Disney, then where does he put The Incredible Hulk? Because that's
in comedy, obviously.
Obviously, because that is an Avengers film, but it's a Warner Brothers production.
Yeah, you got to figure Pixar goes in animated, right? But it's a Disney movie if I've ever seen one.
Up until, aren't they their own thing now?
Yeah.
So I would say up until a certain point, they'd go in Disney.
Yeah.
So we also asked people for their Mount Rushmore of space and what movies would be on it. So this is what he said. Aliens, Empire Strikes Back. It's the Mount Rushmore of space movies. Aliens.
I think we asked for Mount Rushmore of like legit science fiction.
Yeah. Alien, Empire Strikes Back, Star Trek The Motion Picture, 2001 A Space Odyssey, with an honorable mention to Event Horizon. These are some like legit classic sci-fis. I think the only ones that I would sit down and watch are like Aliens and Empire. I don't know. I've watched Star Trek The Motion Picture a billion times, and that's a long movie.
All right, like here's 2001. The thing. All right, I got two problems with this list.
Yeah.
First of all, Mount Rushmore does not have an honorable mention. You don't go visit Mount Rushmore, and then like around the corner, there's a stack of pebbles of like, you know, this guy.
What if it's like a Scooby-Doo thing, and if you hit just at the right spot, one right. of them faces falls down, and there's another one behind it?
Nice. Yes. All right. So that's my first problem. My second problem, I get why he put Empire Strikes Back. But if you're going to do anything with Star Wars, I think you have to go... 1977 Star Wars.
Oh, but people.
I mean, I think you have to go with the original.
People always say Empire's the best one.
I know Empire's the best one. I'm not going to argue. I mean, it's either that or The Last Jedi. But either one of those, like, I think you need to. The Force Awakens, maybe.
Oh, man. Oh, Force Awakens is better.
But don't you, like, all kidding aside, don't you have to give episode 4, like, I mean, I agree that Empire is maybe a better movie or whatever, but Empire wouldn't be there without,
I think
it called, New Hope?
Yeah. I think what you're saying is kind of what we were saying about top 10s. Either do them because they're great, like great movies, or you do them because of nostalgia. And I think what you're saying is Mount Rushmore should be a monument to the greats, and
Mount Rushmore is not a top 10 list.
Yes, and not a nostalgia thing.
Right. Right.
Okay. I feel what you're saying there.
I have a question. How is Steven Spielberg not on this list? Like, where's E.T.?
He said Alien.
Where's Close Encounters?
But look, I mean, it's his Mount Rushmore. What are the rules, Penn? You can't just be like, give us your Mount Rushmores and then be like, no. You didn't follow the rules of which I did not specify at all.
Right. Don't you hate that kid, like, when you were little, who, like, as soon as he started losing, he'd, like, change the rules? No. You can't. It doesn't count because you were looking at the ceiling when you flipped the card, so everybody knows that doesn't count.
Oh, my. Okay, look, I've got a story. In eighth grade, my friend and I created a card game based off a video game that we loved. And there was this kid, he's this great guy, and he wanted to play this game with us. And we were just little jerks because we thought it was really funny that every time it was his turn to play, we would change the rules while he was playing the game. And it was so mean, and I feel so bad about it. But at the same time, I still laugh at the idea that we did that. So, yeah. All right, moving on. Give us another one.
That sounds just like you.
I know, right?
So the Shadow wrote in. I thought you'd be interested in this. He wrote in to let us know that he watched Artemis Fowl on Disney Plus. He thought it was a great kids movie. He liked that they kept the storybook feel to it. He didn't love it for himself, for other adults or whatever, but he said he was the way I read the email, like what the phrase that came to my mind was like, for what it is, it was good.
Huh. I read that the, Artemis Fowl is about a young boy who kind of like goes on an adventure and finds powers and stuff like that or whatever. Something like that. Yeah. But apparently in the books, he's a villain.
Oh.
He's a bad guy. So I think that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to watch this movie. I if it's good for kids, good on them.
Yeah. You know? Cool. So Diamond Eye Dave, Derek, he wrote in with his top 10 list.
Okay.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
All right.
You want to read it or you want me to?
I got it. So
all right.
We'll start at number 10. I'm assuming that's the bottom. He's got Speed. Number 9, Django Unchained. Number 8, Glory. Number 7, Crocodile Dundee. 2, Dumb and Dumber. Is number 6, number 5, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, number 4, Lethal Weapon, number 3, Last of the Mohicans, number 2, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and number 1, Batman 1989. But here's the thing. How's Batman 1989 your favorite movie, Diamond Eye Derek, when, like, the Nolan movies are out there?
I would ask the same question, and I don't even need to bring up Christopher Nolan. I think the question is, how is Batman 1989 your favorite movie? Period. Question mark. Extra question mark.
All of these are older movies, which I find, I mean, except for when Django's not that old, but it's like I'm a little surprised that there's not any newer content on here.
I haven't seen Crocodile Dundee 1, and I did not know there was Crocodile Dundee 2. I will tell you a funny story. Dumb and Dumber came out, and I thought it was funny. And then like when people talk about the worst movie they ever saw in a movie theater, was Dumber and Dumberer.
I never saw it because I don't know if I told you this or not, but I have class. No, I'm just kidding. I just never saw it.
So, I mean, I like Django, Speed, Glory. That's a great pick. Lost, you know. And I think it's also interesting, Diamond Eye Dave, Derek, that all of these movies, except for Django, fall within a 2 or 3 year period. Speed and Dumb and Dumber are all the way out to 1994. But all those other movies are between 88 and 91. Like, wow. I'd like to know how old you were in 19. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to like call you out and put it on the show, but like, are you my age? Or like, are you David's age? Or, you know, are you 14? I mean, we know that you're not 14, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you must have been going through a cool period of your life in the late 80s, early 90s.
I can tell you how old he is because I know Diamond Eye Derek.
Dave.
Diamond Eye Dave Derek. So.
Well, let's see. I was 19 or 20 or 21 in that era.
He was six.
So he didn't go see these movies in a theater.
Batman. He was six when Batman came out.
That is a riot. So yeah. We need to know more about this. And I guess I also, now that I know you weren't like in high school watching these movies, because that's what I pictured. I pictured like, oh, he was probably in high school, probably graduated in 92. And these are all the movies that he loved, like, you know, as a kid. Like. So it comes back to our original question. How is Batman 1989 your number one movie of all time, period, ?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm shook.
I'm this list, while I would have said that Diamond Eye Dave Derek is a fan of all of these, I would not have known that these would have all been on his top 10. So it's fascinating.
I would bet my life that there's nobody else in said life who put Crocodile Dundee 2 on their top 10 list.
But what if you found someone who had Crocodile Dundee 3 on their list?
Is there such a thing?
Oh, buddy.
Oh, buddy.
There is. There definitely is. I think there might be 4 of them. There's at least 3. Yeah. All right, let's move on to like what you watching, what you reading, what you doing. How are you keeping busy in this crazy week?
All right, so I told you how much I liked watching Clue.
Uh-huh.
I also recently rewatched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Oh, which one was that?
That was with...
is that Anne Hathaway?
Benedict. No, it's like a little bit... It's almost all men. It has Benedict Cumberbatch and the main character is Gary Oldman.
Okay.
It's a classic, great spy movie. So good. The girls and I have been watching Nailed It, which is a lot of fun. We've been watching Space Force, which is like, okay. We finished the first season. I'm not sure if there's going to be a second season or not. But what I want to tell you about is this movie on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Called Troop Zero.
Troop Zero.
Troop Zero.
Okay.
You heard of this movie?
No.
David, stop what you're doing, recording the show, and go watch Troop Zero. I loved this movie. This movie was the perfect movie that I needed. Yesterday was a tough day.
Yeah.
Had some frustrating things going on, dealt with it, whatever. At the end of the night, all four of us got together in the living room, some snacks, relaxed. We watched this movie called Troop Zero, which stars Viola Davis and also the girl from Wonder, the little girl, the little kid.
Yeah.
It's about a bunch of misfits that form a Girl Scout troop. They call it a birdie troop. And anyway, this is the cutest fun. It's not cynical, but it's also not corny or preachy or whatever. But it made me cry. I absolutely loved it. We laughed out loud. I highly recommend Troop Zero on your Netflix or on your streaming list.
It's got Jim Gaffigan in it.
Yeah. Yep. Jim Gaffigan plays the dad. He's amazing in it. So good.
Cool. I'm on board.
Highly recommend it.
All right. Well, let me tell you about what I got up to this week.
Please.
I watched Won't You Be My Neighbor. Have you seen it? The documentary.
Yeah.
Not the Tom Hanks one. I thought it was beautiful. It was great. Really inspiring. I liked a lot about it, especially like how they talked about how important the number 143 was for him. He weighed 143 pounds his whole life, and he always says 143 was the number because it's "I love you." Numbers in the.
Right.
There's so much great things. I really enjoyed that that look into it. I need to watch. What was the other one? What was the Tom Hanks one called? Whatever. I need to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm still reading Ex Machina by...
Beautiful, beautiful day in the neighborhood.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still reading Ex Machina by Brian K. Vaughan. It's huge. It's long. I'm really enjoying it. I talked about it before, so I won't bore you. I finished Rick and Morty season 4. Entertaining for what it is. And I've been listening to an audiobook called Bodega, Tales from the Bodegaverse. And it is a pulp fiction parody. Like, it's parodying the genre. And it's a bunch of short stories that some guy started writing for his podcast. His name is Perian Flax is what he goes by online. But his Ted Forsyth is the author's name. And it's not like the most laugh out loud funny thing, but it's fun to listen to. I'm really enjoying it. So
cool.
Anyway, that's been it too. So next week, what are our options? I hear right here you put down... I can't tell if you're trying to sway me to go to one thing by putting something else, or explain to me what these options are and why you put them on here.
There's no agenda.
Okay.
These are two movies that recently came up in conversations with friends of mine. And in those conversations, I thought to myself, oh, I really want to watch these movies. One is Quentin Tarantino's best movie, Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Go ahead and tell me how Reservoir Dogs is better. And the other is X-Men Origins Wolverine. But I'm open-minded if you have a better idea.
How did X-Men Origins Wolverine come up?
And you want?
And was there like an audible, like cranks breaking and like belts going off the wheel when you were like, oh, I think I need to watch that movie again?
Why? Is it awful? You hated it?
All right. We're watching X-Men Origins Wolverine because it's the worst X-Men movie.
Oh, wow. All right.
We got to tear it up.
All right. I'll dig in.
I just want you, when you're watching it, I want you to remind yourself that it may look like maybe the graphics were pre-digital age and they don't look right because you've got a nice new fancy TV. I want to remind you, no, that's how they looked in the theater. So, all right. So if you want to get in touch with us, podcast@penncinema.com. That's the best way to do it. Send us your top 10 lists, your space Mount Rushmore. Remember all the rules for it, please, or Penn will get angry.
The secret rules.
Let us know what you think of Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Or anything else you want to talk to us about?
I think you and I should bring, in addition to watching Wolverine, X-Men, Origins, whatever, we should bring our science fiction Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Because I have a feeling our conversation might be short on Wolverine.
Have you ever seen, let me rephrase this. When was the last time you saw 2001?
It's been a long time.
Shall we?
Wait, you want to do that instead of Wolverine?
I'm saying and Wolverine.
Double feature.
Double feature, no extra charge.
All right, we're going to do it. But if I find out that I made time for two movies, we cannot do this. No, because it's like already Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. All right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Because we're doing.
So we'll stick with Wolverine. Stick with Wolverine.
We could double it up next week.
Yeah, because the other thing is, I'm going to be opening a new drive-in in Huntington Valley, and theoretically, maybe opening Lititz.
Right. Yeah.
So and Huntington Valley.
Let's be realistic.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week. We'll watch Wolverine, and we'll be done with it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton,
and I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care,
and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.